Seguimos ahora con el último ponente y terminamos con él esta primera sesión de ponencias plenarias. Bueno, vamos a ver si nos animan, vamos a ver cómo está el patio de las startups, en concreto de las geostartups, que son las que nos interesan. Para eso tenemos a Ed Freifogel, no sé si lo he dicho bien, quien además de su faceta como inversor en distintas geostartups, es cofundador de Open Cage Data, empresa que ha creado una API para la agregación y geocodificación de geodatos abiertos. Ed es también organizador de Geomob, un evento bimensual en Londres, donde se muestran las últimas innovaciones en el sector geoespacial. Como veis, un empleador y todo un geo inquieto de los nuestros. Vamos a ver cuál es su visión sobre este tema. Ed está ahora instalado en Barcelona, así que no nos podía fallar. Muchas gracias, Ed, y si, cuando estés listo, tú mismo.
Ok, let's dive in. Wait, how do I
en inglés, que nos había avisado.
Sorry.
Pequeño detalle.
Okay. So first of all, thanks very much for having me. I'm not going to be speaking in Spanish. My Spanish is not good enough. So my name's Ed. Thanks for having me, and I hope you said nice things about me. Let's dive right in. I'm going to talk a bit about some trends in location-based services and simplicity. I live in Barcelona. I recently moved to Barcelona, and I was walking around my neighborhood recently, and I saw this ad. Maybe if some of you have seen it, I'm sure you all know the property site Idealista. And I saw this ad, and I said, "This is amazing," because whereas before geo and geo-based services were really the domain of experts, now for the first time ever, we're seeing geo in everyday lives of everybody, and that's kind of what my talk is about. We're in this golden age of geo where many, for the first time ever, people are using geo and interacting with geo all the time. I want to talk very briefly about how we got there, some of the trends that I see, and what are the implications for free and open source software. First, very briefly, a little bit about me, just so you have some context. As you can tell, I'm not Spanish. I have no training in GIS. And I'm not a very cutting-edge programmer. So the little bit of programming that I still do, I do these days in Perl. Anyone out there use Perl? Come on. All right, keep fighting. Okay, so we can ask ourselves, why am I here, right? And to tell that story, I need to go back a bit. In 2005, this book came out. Google Maps had just been invented, and this was really the moment that presenting geo services to the mass market of consumers happened. Very funny if you go back and look at this book now, because to see how difficult some of the things were. Anyway, I had a friend, this book has different recipes of things you can do on a map, all of which are now super simple and back then were very cutting edge. And I had a friend who wrote one of those recipes. Meanwhile, I had moved to London, so I spent the last 10 years living in London, and I had started a startup, so that's me on the roof with one of the people at my startup. And as part of our startup, we needed to do some geo things, so we needed to use Google Maps and things. So I contacted my friend, and I said, you know about this stuff. Can you come help me, and can you do some work for me? And he came, and he's like, I'm going to come, and I'm going to bring a guy with me that I think you should meet. So they came, and I said, you know, guys, can you do this work, and I'll pay you to do some work. And I said, yes. And his friend pulled out this big device and put it on the table. And I said, what is this? He said, it's a GPS device. I'm like, oh, I've never seen one. And why do you have one? He says, well, I'm gonna make a map of the whole world. And I said, are you crazy, man? Are you absolutely crazy? Like, just do the JavaScript that I want you to do. Like, don't get distracted. But those friends, so the guy on the right there is Mikel. He was my friend that wrote in the book and that helped me on the project. And the other guy was the guy on the left there, Steve Coast, who invented OpenStreetMap. So Mikel is one of the first people in the OpenStreetMap scene and later went on to become the founder of HOT, the humanitarian OpenStreetMap team. And Steve, of course, invented OpenStreetMap. And at the time, I thought they were crazy, but they were right, and it worked. And now OpenStreetMap is massive, and it's been growing like crazy. So I started getting into that scene in 2006, and it started getting very big in London. I started exploring and learning about it. And meanwhile, my startup was growing, and so we needed to find geoengineers. So it was very difficult to hire good engineers, very competitive, and not a lot of people knew about geo stuff on the web. So basically, we started running an event in London called GeoMob. So this is my event, and I've been running it now for about 8 years or so. Every year, 5 or 6 times a year, we have about, we have 4 to 6 speakers. Each speaker talks for about 15 minutes. And then we go get some drinks. So if you're ever in London, please come join us. That's what we do. The event's a lot of fun. It's a good mix of talk and beers. But the main point is we've been doing this now for a long time. So we've had, over that time, 150 or 200 different speakers have talked about their different geo projects. So I've been able to see the entire spectrum of what has been developed. So I want to talk about some of those trends and what we've learned and some of the messages that you might find interesting. As I said, we've had lots of different speakers. It's been a mix of big companies, startups, artists, hobbyists, academics. So I try to condense that all into a few very brief trends. So first of all, overall, the interest in geo is exploding. We're all very fortunate. As I said, 30 years ago, geo was this topic done by a few strange guys who sat around the computer in the corner. Now every single person has a smartphone on them at all times that knows exactly where they are. And people are interacting with that smartphone all the time, looking at the map, and always able to know where am I. Okay, so this has huge implications. But the first thing is people are starting to say, where what? Not just where am I, but where was I? So we've seen lots of applications that are that try to address this question of where was I. Many specialist applications. So here's one, for example, if you're a hiker, a biker, whatever it is you want to do, for driving, for cycling, there's all kinds of running trackers, all these kinds of things. And we see tons and tons of those applications. Very, very full space now. More and more people are able to get that data and play with that data. But the next question isn't just where am I or where was I, but where is my stuff? And we're seeing more and more startups come out that try to help with that. And the cost of putting a GPS tracker on objects is plummeting. So we have lots and lots of startups now working on things like this so that you put sensors on whatever it is that you find valuable. It could be your vehicle, could be anything. I mean, see where your bicycle is, all these kinds of things. And it's now becoming possible, and the software is affordable enough and usable enough, and all types of platforms are being built that build upon this and let you combine this data and mash it up. And for some of the people out there, so I don't think this is ever going to be a mass thing, but now that every single person is looking at digital maps all the time and having a recording of where they go, some percentage of that audience is now moving from just being a consumer of geographic information to becoming a creator of geographic information. And we're seeing more and more people getting involved in things like, for example, the Missing Maps Project. So this is a humanitarian mapping effort where we go volunteers map areas that don't yet have good maps, usually by tracing geographic imagery. I don't know if there's been a Missing Maps event here in Girona yet. There was one a couple weeks ago in Barcelona to support the relief efforts around the Ecuador earthquake. But an amazing project. But tens of thousands of new people are getting into mapping that have never done this before, that have no background in it. So very exciting. If you take a quick look on Twitter, you can see this all over the world. It's no longer the case that mapping is going to be the domain of the trained expert. I mean, it's just ordinary people trying to create a map for whatever situation they have. So that opens to lots of interesting dynamics. So OpenStreetMap. And of course, I was wrong when I met Steve. He was absolutely right. It has exploded in use. It continues to explode in use. It continues to grow just as rapidly as it has been. I think it has now crossed, this data is a few weeks old, so I think it's now crossed 2.5 million registered users. you can say, okay, not all of them are active, but I mean, it's amazing, the level of detail. OpenStreetMap now has over 1 million edits a day consistently, so that's pretty phenomenal. And when we've seen a lot of businesses now, so this demand for interacting with maps and playing with maps and digital data, we're seeing a lot of demand, a creation of a lot of businesses that then take that interest that was generated digitally and move it back offline by selling things. So we often have presentations from people. More and more people want to, once they've gotten used to interacting with the map on their phone, then they want to actually have souvenirs and maps that they can interact with physically. So, you know, this is just a hand-drawn map of London that an artist did that came and presented to us. We've had this guy, he's British, but he actually lives here in Spain. He does hand-drawn maps, and he has created a business just because now all of a sudden people want to see, people are used to interacting with maps because it's now a normal thing, so they want to see maps in other parts of their life. And the other thing that's interesting is because map data has gotten so cheap, and you combine that with mass customization, we see maps in places we've never saw them before. So this is a company called Splash Maps. They make maps for people, hikers and runners and things, if you're in the outdoors, and you can customize the map and make it whatever way you want, go to the website, very affordably, mass customization. And so all of a sudden you're seeing maps as in all kinds of places you never saw them before. Okay. Second trend that we're seeing is the rise of imagery. Some of my the previous speakers mentioned this, but we see more and more startups coming that deal with imagery. And what do I mean by imagery? So as the previous talk went into great detail about, huge demand for data visualization and all this data that we're generating, how can we present it in a way that we can understand it, which is non-trivial. For example, this is a guy, Ollie O'Brien. He visualizes cycle hire rentals all around the world. So, you know, many cities now have these bikes that you can take. He's able to get all that data and show exactly for all these different cities, where are the bikes, where are the not the bikes, how is it changing over time. You can play it over the course of the day. Really amazing visualization. Check it out if you're at all into cycling. Going back to that trend of digital interests then creating demand for physical products, there's this book, some of these guys have presented several times at our event in London, and all they've done is taken interesting data visualizations that were published on the web and put them in a book, put 100 of them in a book, and it was one of the top selling London books the last year, because now people love looking at this stuff, and they love doing it in a format, either giving it as a gift or doing it in a format that they can that's not on a tiny screen, but where you can sit and ponder it. Very good book. I highly recommend you check it out. And I'm surprised, I haven't seen anyone doing this yet in Spain, but someone should, because they did very well with it. So again, as our previous speaker mentioned, pretty much every single news organization and newspaper group is now thinking about different ways to visualize data. Lots of interesting tools coming out there. Here in Spain, of course, we have the success of CartoDB. They originally spoke at our event in 2012, so about 4 years ago when they were just starting. And the thing that's very interesting there is that they're building a tool. It's a very complex, powerful tool, but their target audience isn't just people who are trained in the industry, but very much journalists and people like that who don't have the formal geographic background, but just say, I have this data, how do I visualize it? And I think there's lots of opportunities there for people that the demand of people who want to visualize and interact with and play with geographic data is huge. And there's a huge market to be made in creating tools that can tap into that demand. Okay, imagery for everyone. Again, as our first speaker said, there's a lot of advancements in capturing imagery using drones or whatever. We see lots of startups that are now taking that imagery, that be it from a drone, be it from satellites. The cost of satellites is also plummeting, and doing very detailed analysis of it, be it mainly driven by machine learning. So this is a startup he presented a couple weeks ago at our last event. You know, went in from 1 year from one employee, one PhD, to having about 10 employees, and does lots of image analysis in image processing using machine intelligence. So again, lots of new ways to capture imagery. This guy came and spoke at our event. He works for in humanitarian situations, and they've built a plan for a drone that can be 3D printed or made from very cheap commodity parts, and then very quickly assembled and flown. And they have a whole open software pipeline that can capture the images, get them onto their computer, get them into a mapping editor, so the volunteers can very quickly start mapping. Very interesting project. So I advise you to check it out. Okay, and the final trend that we see that I think is the most interesting is there's a massive opportunity in simplifying things. So one of the big challenges, as I said, is that there's this explosion of data. Everyone now has this data, all these different apps, all these different visualizations, and more and more now we need tools that even help us solve the clutter. And the first thing about that is that big organizations are typically too slow to deal with this. So there's a huge opportunity for startups in this space. One of the most successful that we've had in London is a company called City Mapper. If you live in London, you have this app. I don't think they're as big in Spain, but all it is tell me how to get from A to B. And in every big city, of course, the local government has such a service, and there's a metro app and things like that. And all these guys do is take that exact same data and make it much, much more usable. And for example, one of their most popular things is, if I am here and you are there, tell us where we can meet so that we can get a beer. And what is the fastest, easiest way for us to meet so that we do, you know, the least amount of travel time and things like that. Very, very clever spin on the same data that everyone else has, but just much better usability and much simpler. And if you think, oh, that's kind of cool, or you know, whatever, that's just, you know, that sounds like a toy. It is a toy, but they recently raised $40 million to do this. And there's huge demand for this service. And it's really phenomenal. In London, everyone has this app, even though there is a free app from the metro service. So something to think about there. Right. So, and when I say things can be made simpler, I really truly mean everything can be made simpler. And many times that means taking a step back out of our position in the geo world and completely rethinking things. And one of the most dramatic examples of that is this startup who presented a couple of years ago at our event, What Three Words. They've reinvented the concept of longitude latitude. So. Basically, longitude and latitude are very difficult for people to express because people are not good at memorizing long strings of numbers and the numbers don't mean anything. And instead, they map that into three words so that you can say someone, I'm at gazed across like, instead of saying I'm at 51498. So, and this has very powerful applications because you're able to give an address to anywhere in the world. So for example, refugee camps, if you're standing in the middle of the field, whatever it is. So very, very interesting service. I advise you to check them out. Even if you disagree with the concept, it's a very powerful example of completely rethinking some of the basic tenets of what we're doing in geo. Also, What Three Words, getting very good funding and traction and growing quite rapidly. So while we're checking out. As I said, we're drowning in data. There's a big opportunity in helping people deal with that. This is actually a startup started by a Spanish entrepreneur, but based in London. And all he does is go to big companies and say, you have all your different locations. So someone like, let's say a Corte Inglés or something like that, they have lots of locations. How do they get those locations into all these different digital services? So very basic database management service, but doing it in a way that is usable and that people can understand and that can quickly and intuitively solve the problem. So again, while we're checking out, and again, the idea of is not necessarily a radical new technological invention, it's doing it much simpler and in an understandable way. And one way for things to be simpler is, of course, you don't try to be perfect. And I think this is a big trap that many people in the geo industry fall into. We're very used to being very precise and having 27 places past the decimal point and things like that. And maybe that's not necessarily. So the company that I now run, we offer a geocoder. So it's a geocoder based on open data. And our main value proposition is that instead of you having to manage all the complexity of OpenStreetMap and all these other open geocoders, we do this for you with one single API, and it's very simple and straightforward. And some of the things that we do are very basic, but they're things every developer has to do and fight with, and we just solve those for you. So a good example is if you go to OpenStreetMap and you search for the coordinates where we are now, you get back all this information, all of which is completely true. So this has been very correctly tagged in OpenStreetMap. The only thing is if you then want to show that to a user, it looks like a wall of junk, right? So now you've got to have some logic of, okay, should the postcode go there or that? So we do that for you. And that sounds like a very basic step, but we just saved your engineer 20 minutes of playing around. So really very, very small, simple, basic things really do add up. And so please check us out if you need any geocoding. So I want to close by saying, what does this have to do with open software versus closed source software, and what does this mean for free and open software? And my basic premise is it's completely the wrong question. The question of should it be open or closed is absolutely, in the age of massive geo interest, is absolutely the wrong question. And the right question, you know, if I'm a consumer walking down the street and I see this ad and it looks really cool, oh my God, I can draw exactly where I want to live, no consumer cares is that open software or closed software at all. All they care about is it useful to me right now? And these are the questions we need to think about when we design open software, because more importantly, can I as the consumer figure out how to make it work? Because it can be open and powerful and have all these amazing features, but if I can't figure out how to make it work right now and make it useful to me, it's a waste. So that's what I want to leave you with as you head into the conference and as you go forward working on free and open software, which I'm a big believer in, but make sure you don't forget the usability. Because what we see from what I've seen over the last decade in London of what wins is usability, not necessarily openness. And even when we look at the open examples that have won, for example, OpenStreetMap, the reason OpenStreetMap has succeeded is it is so simple. You know, the internal database structure of OpenStreetMap is so basic. And many times people come and say, oh, we need to add this, we need to add that. And it never gets added because simplicity wins. So that's all I wanted to say. So in summary, I have two final points. So be excited because there's never been a better time to be in the geo industry. And there's a huge opportunity, but that opportunity needs to be tied to usability. So I encourage you to think about that. If you are in Barcelona, happy to meet up, happy to, you can talk. I'll put this talk on my blog later. Please come by. As a way to get to know Barcelona and to try to learn my neighborhood, I'm mapping Sarria, Tres Torres. So if any of you are around there and you want to meet up and map with me, let's map. And let me close by saying thank you.
Thank you. Gracias, Ed.